Right, I'm Kim Yong, and I'm bringing you the sermon for today. And I thought I would just begin with a very short introduction of myself. Right, I've been in KUS since about 2006, so that's about 15 years. You know, I was a new believer when I came, and I was with KUS Youth at that time. So when I was there, I met my wife, Joy. We dated for a number of years and got married in 2014. And very recently, we had our first child, Judah. You know, so far, it's been about 11 weeks or so. And I think that, you know, all new parents, right, they always get asked the same question. How is life different for you now? You know, for me, the key difference now, one key difference is that now I'm more free. You know, really, I'm more free now. Y'all don't believe me, some of you, looking at our faces. Right, or are you like secretly judging me? It's like, oh, this guy is an uninvolved father, you know. Let me maybe explain myself. I'm actually now more free from Korean drama, you know. Because last time, right, my wife will always, sometimes, drag me to watch Korean drama with her. And now I'm kind of free from that. Because now, you know, no time already lah. And she's now currently watching this show called Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha. Yeah, some of you know. And it's been already a few weeks, but I think she's still stuck at the same episode. You know? And I suspect we will probably not be able to finish it anytime soon. So anyway, I think, you know, in this past 1 to 2 years of COVID, right, most of you should have finished quite a lot of drama series on Netflix, probably. Am I right? But even if you are not a Netflix person, right, I think everyone I know in the past year, they tell me, right, they spend more time on entertainment in this period of time, right? Be it games, TV, YouTube, or TikTok. You know, when we are stuck home because of COVID, you know, some of us have a little bit more free time. And there are actually many things that we can do with this free time. You know, but one common place that people tend to spend it on is entertainment. Now, why is that so? I don't think this is something that, you know, many of us stop to think about. Because it can seem a bit natural. It's like when you sit down in a lobby, you're waiting for somebody, right? And there's a magazine beside you, you just pick it up and you just start browsing. So I think entertainment is a little bit like that as well, right? When you have a little bit of free time at home to kill, you will just tune in to your entertainment. And you know, that's our topic for today, right? Entertainment. You know, I'm sharing this also as a part of my own personal journey, because some years back, God brought me to also examine this area of my life. And through that, I found that I've grown to become closer to Him, right, and more satisfied in Him. So the purpose of why maybe I'm sharing this today is also that I hope by considering and understanding more about entertainment, you'll also want to draw closer to God and enjoy your relationship with Him. Right, so the passage for us today is 2 Corinthians 3, verses 16 to 18. So you can turn to your Bibles or you can look at the screen. I'm going to read to us. Verse 16, it says here, "But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Well, let us pray. Father God, may you open our hearts today that we may gain understanding from your word. And may your word take root in our hearts and bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, so as we begin, I want you guys to start asking yourself some questions. Right, you may not have all the answers here today, but it's good to begin on this journey with God, because ultimately, it's not just about thinking about the issue, but it's really about your relationship with God. Right, so start thinking about this. Right, what are your thoughts on entertainment in general? You know, more specifically, what do you think of your own entertainment? Is it okay to watch a Squid Game on Netflix? Right, is it okay to listen to a particular artist or play a certain video game? These are some of the questions we want to explore today. Right, so let me just clarify what I mean by entertainment so that we are all on the same page. Because, you know, what is entertaining to me may not be what is entertaining to you. But I think it is safe to say that most, if not all of us here, do participate in some form of entertainment. You know, traditionally, entertainment is seen as something that holds the attention and interest of an audience, and in the process, brings them pleasure. So what this means is entertainment, right, is something that you watch as an audience, and as you watch, you feel happier. Right? And it is this aspect of the audience that turns the private recreation into entertainment. You know, there are also other kind of leisure activities, right? Such as, you know, playing sports, meeting up with friends, and there are also personal hobbies such as photography and baking. But they don't primarily involve you being an audience. Right? And many of these activities that I just talked about, right, they are, you already kind of know how to make sense of them as Christians. And they are generally considered healthy activities, so no problems with them. But it is a category of entertainment that sometimes, right, we as believers, we find it uncomfortable, right, confusing, or even difficult to navigate, you know, to watch or not, right, and to what extent. So research shows that on average, people spend about 2 to 3 days, 2 to 3 hours a day on entertainment. Now, for me, it is quite interesting to note that, you know, amidst all the many, many options that are available to us now as a first world modern society, right, that most people still have this in common. They spend 2 to 3 hours a day being an audience to something, right, to a show, to sports, to music, and or playing video games. You know, so if entertainment is such a regular fixture in our lives, then I think we can't be flippant about it and think that, it's just a few hours every day, you know, no need to think so much. It's actually quite a powerful few hours every day. Maybe it might even be more powerful than our own personal devotion time, or even this, like, 1 to 2 hours of service here in church. For some people, entertainment is what drives them. You know, they want to quickly go home after work so that they can level up in their game or catch up on their latest episode of the show that they are watching. Right, maybe some of us might be feeling that, maybe at this moment also. But why is entertainment attractive to us? Why do you watch what you watch? You know, that, I believe, is the heart of the issue here today. Right, we will explore this first, and then I will give us 3 suggestions on how we can possibly approach our entertainment. Right, so why is entertainment so attractive to us? I want to suggest that the main reason is that because it is attempting to meet our deepest desire. What is our desire? Right? It is a desire to be satisfied, to be happy and fulfilled. You know, in our hearts, we have this ideal notion of how we want ourselves to be happy and fulfilled. You know, it may be different for a different one of us, but we all have an ideal story that we hope we can live out. However, I think many of us actually are not living out that story right now. You know, entertainment is attractive to us because it appears that it can help us live out the stories that our hearts want. You know, when we become an audience to entertainment, we are not just listening and watching, you know, but we are also participating in the stories that they are selling us. We become weaved into their stories, you know, through the drama, the songs, the games, and by listening and watching, we are also identifying with and becoming the characters in it. That's why it's so exciting, right? Because you can become the romantic leads in a K-drama, right? The level 99 warrior or mage in our video games, right? Or even Ronaldo or Messi, or maybe just yesterday, Mohamed Salah, in the weekly soccer games. By watching the stories they present to us, we identify with the emotions they evoke, and it makes us feel like we are a part of it. I think that's also why many people experienced a sense of loss when a long drama series that they are watching finally comes to an end. You know, the same is experienced by people who watch the European Cup or the World Cup. Because when the final whistle is blown, the party is over, you know, and we are brought back to our own realities again. Now, it surely felt good while it lasts, right? Why? I think that's because we have, you know, managed to live vicariously through others during that time. You know, we are part of their exciting lives, you know, their role as a hero of sorts on an adventure, or their noble cause of changing the world. You know, and entertainment, although it is short-lived, was able to give us a little taster of what we desire. So I think that's why we love our entertainment. You know, no one forces us to watch what we watch. The fact is, we watch because we enjoy what we watch. So if we love our entertainment because it seems to give us what we want, is there a problem? Right, let us now go to our text, verse 18 of our text today, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And let me just read to you guys. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. right? This verse you can see on the screen, very long, right? It may seem a little bit complicated, but if you zoom straight at the crux of the sentence, it says here, we are being transformed into that same image, right? So that's the heart of the verse. So we want to ask, same as what? Same as what image? You go back a little bit, you can see the phrase before it says here, beholding the glory of the Lord, right? So this means, right, when we behold, behold means to look, right? So when you look at God's glory, we are also being transformed into that same glory. Right, let me say that again, so it kind of sits in. Right, when we look at God's glory, we are actually being transformed into that same glory. You know, and I think, wow, that's such a powerful statement. You mean you can do that just by looking, just by watching? Now, what's actually happening when you are looking? Now, the Bible says in Matthew 6:22 that the eye is the lamp of the body, and whatever enters through our eyes affects our body. It's definitely not talking about the physical aspect, right? But the spiritual aspect of things. In 1 John 2:16, John also describes what we see as the desires of the eyes. So what we are actually seeing when we are looking with our eyes is not merely sight or vision, right? But also our desires. When we watch entertainment, we are also seeing our desires unfolding in front of us, shaping us, and many times also transforming us. So the principle at work here is this, right? What you set your eyes on will also shape your desires, and in the process, transforms you, whether into godliness or worldliness. The thing about entertainment is this, right? That its influence is very subtle. It doesn't transform you immediately, right? It doesn't force you to think in a certain way. It merely presents you a story, right? And by drawing you into that story and letting the characters grow on you, right, it actually slowly changes you, right? In fact, after a while, right, their story becomes your story. And I'm not saying that this happens, you know, 100% of the time, because it depends on how much you stop to reflect, how much you feel attached to the show, etc. But what I'm saying here is that entertainment's influence is powerful and subtle. Right, it does not punch you in the face, but it slowly changes your taste. And just how have our tastes as a society changed across the years? So I will briefly highlight two areas just for illustration. Right, first, you know, our threshold for depictions of sex. Right, you just need to randomly pick a few movies from 10 to 20 years ago, right, and compare them with a few produced recently. I'm sure you can tell the difference. Right, because in the past, when a director wanted to depict a sex scene, you can expect the camera to slowly turn away from the actors and then fade to black. Right, today, that is grossly inadequate to satisfy an eager audience who is expecting to see more than just an implication of what's to happen. Right, and this happens not merely on screen, but also in the songs that we hear. And on a related note, our views on sexuality has drastically shifted too in the last 10 years. You know, in the past, mainstream movies with any depictions of homosexuality, I would say, are pretty rare. But today, if you watch Netflix, almost every show will contain someone gay, whether as one of the main characters, or an extra, or somebody in a subplot. And part of this is also driven by the Oscars' diversity criteria, right, where a film cannot be considered or nominated if it doesn't fulfill this criteria, which usually can be met by inserting someone LGBTQ into the show somehow. Right, and I'm not saying whether this is good or bad. Right, I can potentially see that it is good to create some degree of awareness. Right, but I'm merely making the point here that many of us too are influenced by these worldviews, right, whether consciously or subconsciously. Right, second, our threshold for violence too has increased. You know, a 2013 report from the American Academy of Pediatrics found that violence in films has more than doubled since 1950, and gun violence in PG-13 rated films has more than tripled since 1985. And violence in video games, right, if you're a parent and you have got teenagers who like the game, sometimes you'll see, right, their games have got blood splattering, dismembering of limbs, and decapitation. Right, this is getting more and more commonplace in the games that we play. Right, again, it is not my intention to evaluate, right, what are the effects of virtual violence on reality, but I'm merely pointing out that, look, right, the threshold of the depiction of violence overall has increased. Our tolerance level has increased. That's not all. Right? Our views on family, crime, life, what's right and wrong, just to name a few, are some of the areas that we are subjected to influences by just consuming entertainment. You know, so one thing for sure here is, whatever you watch or listen to, it's playing a part to influence you. If you are unaware or you want to like dispute this, then you are probably going to be on the receiving end of its influence unknowingly. Right? But if you acknowledge it, right, and recognize its influence, then perhaps today we can consider how to approach it. So that brings me to my first point for today, right? A suggestion on how we can approach our entertainment. So first point, I would say, watch sparingly. Right? It's a bit like eating fried food. Right? It's not that fried food is bad per se, but it's always good to cut down. Right? You can be in trouble for eating too much fried food, but you can never be in trouble for eating too little. Right? So you don't have to worry, oh, I'm not getting enough entertainment. So that's usually okay. And I'm not asking us to abstain completely at this stage, because perhaps you just need to find some ways to cut down for a start as we begin on this journey with the Lord to consider our own entertainment. And our text today in 2 Corinthians 3 also tells us that we can be veiled, right, or obstructed from seeing God's glory. Right, if you have given your life to Jesus, right, your veil was already removed. And we can already meet God with our unveiled faces, as the verse says. No, but sometimes, the things in the world that we allow to creep back into our lives can put the veil back on to some extent, and it can obstruct us, right? And it affects how we are looking at God, how we relate to God. So if entertainment is like a veil that obstructs us, it would then be wise to take steps to reduce our dependence on it. You know, for some of us, we may want to consider, you know, have we been too excessive or even addicted to our entertainment? You know, when someone asked Charles Spurgeon, a famous preacher in the 19th century, about cigars, right, he gave this good advice. Because Charles Spurgeon, he has a fondness for cigars. So he said, right, yeah, do not be excessive. It's okay to use, but don't be excessive. So great advice for us here today. Right, but then you may ask, how do we know whether it's excessive? So this person follow up with that question. Right, to that, Charles Spurgeon said, it's excessive when you see me smoking two cigars at the same time. Right, so for most of us here, like if you are not watching Netflix on two devices or gaming on two consoles, you are probably okay. Right, well, that's the thing, isn't it? It is tough to tell for yourself sometimes whether something is excessive or not. You know, I recently met up with a young person who told me that he started online gambling. And from his sharing, I can see that he's getting addicted. Right, but when he told me, he says, no, I'm not addicted. You know, when you look at smokers, when you talk to smokers, most of them will tell you that no, they are not addicted. They will tell you that they smoke because they want to smoke, and they can stop anytime. But if you actually get them to try to stop, it's not so easy, right? Most of them, in fact, can't, because the reality is that they are addicted, but maybe they don't want to admit or they don't know. So for this young person that I was talking to, right, thankfully, I think he has a very humble heart, and I think he genuinely wants to please God. And after talking to him for a while, you know, he acknowledged, yes, right, he's going down this path that's not good, and he decided to change. And I am so happy because he's glad, he's open to correction. And whatever thrill that he got from gambling deep inside him, he actually knows, right, it is nothing compared to being in the right relationship with God. You know, for some of us listening here today, you might be thinking, well, I don't think that's me, right? I'm not addicted. I'm just only watching a little bit every day. So if that is truly the case, then it is all right, right? We want to thank God, we want to praise God that you have not let entertainment trip you up in any way, right? But then sometimes we own self, check own self. This one not very soon, right? So one way to test yourself is to try cutting down. Because if you see yourself having withdrawal symptoms or find yourself like, hey, you keep thinking about that particular entertainment, then perhaps it might have a stronger hold on you than you realize. Right, then how to start cutting down? Right, my suggestion for us today is that we can begin by going on an entertainment fast for a season. Because fasting is a God-given tool that we can use to deliberately put ourselves in a situation to do without the things that may have a hold on us. But it is not just depriving ourselves of those things, because as we fast, we should also pray and seek God and ask Him to reveal our desires and let Him align our hearts to Him. And personally for me, I have benefited tremendously from doing this when I was seeking God in this very area on how I should approach my entertainment many years back. I actually took a 1 to 2 year fast from entertainment when I was in university. You know, and the only entertainment that I had at that point in time was if my friends invited me to, you know, join them for their movies. So for me, I see that as, okay, I can socialize, fellowship with some of my friends. Right? But apart from that, the remaining time that I usually would have spent on entertainment, I set it aside, you know, to maybe build relationship with my fellow cell members, church members, and also to read the Bible, to pray. I don't know whether you may find this a little bit strange, right? But when I did that at that point in time, you know, there's really no regrets, and I really experienced this strong sense of satisfaction in God. You should really learn to understand that I can get that satisfaction and fulfillment from God Himself. Right? Even now, from time to time, I will still deliberately fast from entertainment, you know, to kind of detox and allow myself to take a step back and reevaluate what I've been watching so far. So this first point, right, to watch sparingly, right, if you can. Now, the second point here is to watch selectively. You know, I'm not here to dictate what kind of selection criteria you should use. But if after today you come to have a few of your own, I think that is already a good step forward. And I'm going to share a personal example here. Right, my wife and I used to watch Netflix on nights where we don't have anything on. So one night we were just scrolling through what's trending on Netflix. And then we started watching this dating reality show. You know, we started with one episode and then another. Then halfway, she stopped and she asked me, "Wait, are you okay watching this? Will you feel tempted or not, you know, watching?" So what I didn't say earlier was that this dating reality show was in a setting where all the contestants were living at a beach resort, right, where they're all wearing their beach wear. So for the girls, wearing bikinis, for the guys, wearing their beach shorts. So I told her, actually, I feel tempted. You know, seeing people walking around in very little clothing is a temptation for me. Right? And after that, we stopped watching. But I thank her for checking in on me. You know, by the way, I'm not saying that, you know, this is a standard across the board for everyone, because different people have got different thresholds. Right? Well, you may say, you can still watch to just relax or laugh at the silly conversations, or maybe don't look too much. All right, so for you, if you watch it and you feel that you will not feel tempted, then maybe it's not an issue for you. But we have to be careful that we are not using these as excuses as well. Right? Because in 1 John 2:16, right, it talks about the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, right, in the same breath. And it is a reminder that our desires can very well also become our pride. After the fall in Genesis, God said that Eve's desire will be for her husband, but he will rule over her. And shortly after, in the story of Abel and Cain, the same construction was used, right? When God told Cain, "Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Also, if you look at the two verses on the screen, right, you would see this connection between desire and it ruling over somebody. Right, and the idea here is that whatever you desire will rule over you. If your desire is for God, then He will rule over you. If your desire is for any other thing, likewise, it will also rule over you. And that can become your pride of life. You know, hence, the exhortation from God's word today is but, right? But you must rule over it. You know, while God has given us desires, it is also our responsibility to guide these desires. Right? And one way to do that is to guard what we watch and watch selectively. You know, now for the sake of illustration, I'm going to talk about three shows, right? Hopefully, I think most of you will have heard about them before, right? So first show is Game of Thrones, second, Squid Game, and third, Money Heist. Right? It's like doing a drama review right now. Right? First show, Game of Thrones, for those of you who don't know, is a series that many people love. It's a bit like the Ang Mo version of Romance of the Three Kingdoms. So if you ask people, you know, why you watch this show, why you like this? So you get different responses. Some will tell you, "Oh, the plot is very good, right? The twist is very unpredictable, or the storytelling is very unique." Right? At the same time, the show is also notorious for having many of their female characters involved in sex scenes. Right? The next show, Squid Game. This one you will definitely hear before, lah, huh? It's currently trending on Netflix. Quick summary for those of you who don't know: it's about a game show where people enter as contestants, and they stand to win a big sum of money if they survive, right? Because if they kind of get eliminated in the games, they'll actually be killed off in various fashions, right? And the third show, Money Heist. This show is so popular that there are already a few seasons now, and there is even a talk of a K-drama remake of it, right? Basically, it's about a group of people who went to rob the bank and how they outsmarted everyone and ended up with all the bank's money. Okay, now we want to think a little bit more deeply about this, right? Why do you think people like these shows? Maybe you also like these shows, right? If you are a fan, why do you think you like these shows? I think it's probably it has tapped on some of your desires, for sure. It is very likely that the story they present has got some parts that resonate with us and makes us feel like, oh, we want that story for ourselves as well. You know, our text in verse 18 says that as we behold the glory of the Lord, we will be transformed from glory to glory. You know, the Greek word here for behold or look is kataphrizo, which is an interesting choice of word because it appears only once in the Bible. And this word is quite specific to mean to look at oneself in the mirror. And that's why in some translation, like the NKJV, it says, beholding as in a mirror. So I think what it means is that when we look intently at God, He is being reflected back to us like a mirror. You know, that is a powerful image, right? Picture this with me, right? When you look at God, it's like looking into the mirror, and what you see now is being reflected back to you, and you become what you see. Right, so how can you look at God and behold the glory of God? Now let me read to us in John chapter 1, verse 14, right? It says here, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." You know the phrase, beholding the glory, well, can sound so chim and abstract. And it's actually not very useful to us if we don't relate to it, if we don't understand what it's talking about. And in the verse that we just read, I believe John is telling us that this is not complicated, right? To behold the glory of God is simply to look at Jesus. And by that, I don't mean physically looking, right? Likewise, in the verse when John said, we have seen His glory, it is not a matter of physically looking, right? In the Bible, we have read about people who are described as those who see but do not perceive. So looking and seeing is about being able to perceive who Jesus is. You know, when you read His word, and it resonates with you, and you feel a sense of how good and great Jesus is. That is perceiving. And when you go about your life, and you face, you know, a difficult situation, and you're feeling helpless, and you pray for God to help you, and after praying, you feel the sense of peace that comes upon you. Right? That is perceiving Jesus. That is looking at Jesus. That is beholding Jesus. You know, when we perceive Jesus in His Word and through our lives, we behold the glory of God and become more and more like Him. You know, now having understood this, right, I will just have one guiding question for us to consider our selection of entertainment. Can you see God's glory in what you watch? And are you encouraged to become more like Him? Right? Or are you seeing the world's glory, the world being glorified in it, and are encouraged to be more like the world? Now, I don't think that everyone's response here is going to be the same because we have our own backgrounds and preferences, and that will affect how we respond. Right? So to put it simply, we could potentially respond either more positively or more negatively. So what will your response be today? When you watch Squid Game and you see many people being shot at gunpoint, what goes through your mind? You know, on a more meta level, there is actually a social commentary going on underlying Squid Game, which is to challenge people to think about materialism and the dog-eat-dog world that we live in. You know, that, I would say, is a positive. But they don't tell you that very explicitly. Where what you see explicitly is the gore, the violence, the cruelty. No, so which one of these come up to you more? No, for anyone that has watched Money Heist, it is very likely that you'll be rooting for the criminals. But actually, when you're watching, you don't think about it that way. You're just identifying with the main characters, and you slowly grow to like them. You know, only when you take a step back, then you realize, oh, we are actually supporting the bad guys. Like that? Okay or not? So again, on a deeper level, that is what the show wants you to do. It wants to subvert our notion of what is good and bad, right and wrong, and get you to think more deeply about how do you really determine that. I think that can be a positive. But if you get carried along with the story, it doesn't just stop at a part to get you to reflect. It also tries to get you into the shoes of these characters and make you feel that someone who can outsmart the system should be awarded, should be rewarded. Is that a positive, right? Is that glorifying rebellion? Is that glorifying a win-at-all-cost mentality? Right? Are we all aware of that? And for Game of Thrones, the unique plot device of the writer having no qualms about killing off any key characters makes it extremely interesting for people to watch. Because they don't know what's going to happen. Right? 1 minute, this guy looks like the main character, and the next episode, he dies. Right? So that builds up anticipation and taps on our desire for the novel and the new, which in itself is neither good nor bad. Right? But the side notes, the equally enticing screen device to use nudity and sex scenes to play out the viewer's fantasies on screen. Now, what value does that bring? Does it cause you to appreciate the historical context better? Or does it glorify sex more than society already does? And these are just some of the shows that I'm talking about. You can, in fact, examine any other forms of entertainment the same way too. And what will your response be? If your responses are mostly negative and you find yourself, you know, being brought along to be tempted to enjoy the things glorified by the world, then perhaps watching may not be beneficial to you. You know, in fact, it may cause you to gradually develop the opposite kind of desires that you want. For some of us, you may feel that perhaps your responses are mostly positive, and you are led to think about God's heart on those issues shown in the things that you watch. Then perhaps watching may have less of a negative influence on you. Right, to be very honest, while it is still a useful gauge for us to do some self-evaluation, we can never know for sure, right? Because we can easily deceive ourselves. And we know the Bible verse that tells us that everything is permissible. Right, there's a second part, right? But not everything is beneficial. But usually we choose to focus on the first part. Right, so that leads me to my third point, right? So how do we safeguard ourselves on that? So we watch sparingly, we watch selectively, and now, right, to safeguard ourselves, to really understand how to do this better, we should also watch spiritually. Right, and when I say watch spiritually, I mean to watch it in a way that engages not only your sensual mind, but also your spirit. You know, as you watch, pray. I don't know if this sounds strange to you, right? But I say this again not as a theoretical thing, because I'm someone who have tried to do that, you know, for the past 15 years. When I watch, as far as I can remember, you know, I pray for God's perspective. I try to pray to see, you know, what's the desire at work in me. I pray for my own heart's desire to be revealed as well. And I also try to be honest. No, I don't think I'm super spiritual, and I don't always remember to do that all the time either. No, but now it's a little bit of an inner habit, so it comes a little bit more easily now. Right, so this is also the part where I would like to encourage all of us here to involve your community in this. Right, whether is it your cell group, your small group, or 3-2-1 group, develop this habit to share and talk about your entertainment and give mutual input on it. Right, pray for our areas of weakness, because we can't always trust ourselves to discern our own entertainment. And if possible, pray beyond even for the issues or the people involved. You know, Charles Spurgeon, I just happened to use him again, right, used to say that we should read the Bible and the newspaper. Because the newspaper opens us up to see what's happening in the world, and the Bible helps us to make sense of it and inspire us to pray. Right, to some extent, I think entertainment today is playing some part of that role. You know, it does not tell you in factual detail what is happening in the world per se, but it tells you the desires that the world has. And when we watch spiritually, we are also engaging ourselves to be aware of those desires. And we can also pray accordingly, both for ourselves and also for the people around us. Well, let me just share again another example. Right, Joy and I mentor a number of couples. And sometimes in the shows that we watch, right, we also observe some very real conflict situations playing out that mirror what people experience in their relationships. You know, that will often lead us to pray for the couples that we are journeying with and also for God to help those who are in similar situations. So as we watch, we can also be more intentional to pray and speak with God as we watch, to invite Him in. Don't cast Him out in our entertainment, to allow Him to come in to guide our desires and guide our hearts as well. So now, let me just reiterate the three suggestions that I've just talked about so far. Number one, watch sparingly. Number two, watch selectively. Number three, watch spiritually. Now, as we return to our text again, let's look at verse 16. It says, "But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed." As you can see, my friends, now, our veil is not removed when we forcefully try to take it away ourselves. We cannot forcefully starve ourselves of entertainment. I mean, you technically can try to do that, but I don't think that by sheer willpower is going to make you very successful. You know, the verse says that it is when we turn to the Lord that the veil is removed, not that we remove it ourselves. In fact, the word turn here is sometimes translated as return. You know, while the topic at hand today is entertainment, at the heart of it, I see it as a call to return to the Lord. You know, we have examined the heart of entertainment, you know, why it is so attractive and why we watch what we watch. It is because we love them, right? But the stories that entertainment offer are not real, right? This much we all know. It is but a substitute for the stories that we have been longing for. But many times, right, we like the fake or the substitutes better. So you just look at the snacks that you like. Even most of us like potato chips better than potato. We like bubble tea more than real tea. But if we realize that, then I guess it makes sense that we should go for the real thing, right? Verse 17 in our text says, right, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know, if you want to be free from the counterfeits and the fake, and if we want the real thing, we have to allow God's Spirit to work in our hearts. You know, God's story for us began in creation, in Genesis. You know, it was described as it was good, it was very good, and started off very exciting, but turned out anticlimactic. You know, because Adam and Eve never managed to carry the story to its intended ending. You know, some of us here today may be feeling that way. In our own walk with God, it probably started off great as well. But somehow now, you may feel pretty stale, or you may feel a little far away. So do not be discouraged, my friends, because the story doesn't end here. Right? In the Bible, the story continues, right? And it culminates in Jesus' story. And this time around, in this story, we have victory. Right? And in fact, we are more than conquerors and co-heirs with Christ. And this, my friends, right, it is still available for us today. You know, Jesus has invited us and is always still inviting us to return to Him. You know, He's telling us to just come, you know. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, as we are coming to an end, I want to encourage us to find our rest and comfort and satisfaction in Jesus. Right, how do you do that? Right, in the Bible, God has given us many stories through which He reveals Himself to us. I would like to encourage us to take time to read His story again. God's rest, comfort, and satisfaction will come to us gradually. He doesn't force all of that upon us at once. You know, as we are drawn into what His Word says and allow it to slowly grow in us, it also changes us. And over time, we learn to become a part of God's story rather than being apart from it. And my prayer is that as you read and pray, you will begin to see His glory more and more and be filled and transformed more and more into His likeness. Right, at this point in time, can we just invite the worship team to come and play us this closing song as you spend some time with God to ask Him to renew us and refresh us again. Right, you may now stand to respond to the Lord.
I will love you, Lord, my strength.
friends, for some of us here today, maybe you are just beginning to think about the entertainment that you are watching or you are participating in. Maybe you may not have thought about this before, and this is the first time that you are reviewing it. I want to pray with you today as well. And for some of us, maybe God has been speaking to you for a while, right? Prodding you a little bit, right? This is an area of our life that He wants you to submit to Him. So later, I will pray for all of us here. And if you are watching this online, right, and this is the first time that you are hearing this message about Jesus, and you're wondering, wow, really? There's something better than entertainment out there? And you're telling me that's a real thing? If you're interested to find out more, right, I encourage you to get in touch with us, and we'd like to share with you more about Jesus, because Jesus is truly more satisfying than anything that you can experience in the world. Well, let me just pray for all of us here today as we close. Father God, You see the desires in our heart. You're the one who gives us the gift of desire. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that You teach us how to steward this, Lord. And may You shape our desires to desire You more and more each day, and let You be our treasure, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, service is over. We'll see you again next week.